I'm shaking they boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate them blue in the face like Congo, cuz I'm breaking the cake for less weight. I'm taking the game mine. Y'all witness the change is my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't choose ya. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might just possibly get down with the tool in his hand. Now I'm a lady, let me see if I break. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, and the pounder real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Jason, can you hear me?
I can.
Awesome. Imagine that. I mean, only on Blog Talk Radio can a technical difficulty allow us to delay the show, right?
It has been known to happen occasionally, yes.
Oh, trust me. I've thrown them under the biggest bus as I could in the last few weeks, but they still are the best alternative, so I'm still with them.
Yeah, same here.
And I'm gonna restart that whole thing because I had a really cool story right before you came on. but I'll tell that one later. But he is Jason Longshore. He is from the Soccer Down Here podcast. He is also from 92.9 The Game, and also, I guess, an attempt to try to get as many media jobs as I have. He is also one half of the voice with Mike Conti of the Atlanta United radio play-by-play. So did I miss anything?
Atlanta United 2. I am one half of the team there with my Soccer Down Here co-host, John Nelson.
Oh, see, there you go. See?
Yeah,
there's always
a few things.
So, yeah, you're trying to stay busy, right?
That's for sure.
It's not that easy to do in this town. I will definitely say that. But it is good to have you on. I did not get a chance to listen to today's Soccer Down Here, but I've listened to the first three, and I do want to – what the thing we were just talking about the other day I wanted to immediately bring up was, you know, because this show is more than likely – I can't think of that guy's name again. Was it Calvo or something like that? The guy that had the problem with Minnesota not getting talked about enough. Well, unfortunately, Mr. Calvo, you're probably not going to like my show so much because we're going to barely mention Minnesota on this one. We're going to talk a lot of Atlanta United.
I'm down with this.
But it is good to have you guys on and like I said, I totally agree with you guys that the way it works in sports, I think everybody should realize this if you're in sports or media. If you want to be talked about, you have to do things to get talked about. You can't just kind of wander through games, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get what he's saying to a degree. If you're Minnesota United and you come in at the same time as Atlanta United and Atlanta's getting all the headlines, you get a little frustrated. Now LAFC's in, and they're getting all the headlines. So Minnesota feels like the little brother. But when you actually start to look at it, they were horrible the first half of last season. They did get better, and they were, you know, a tough team to handle at the end of the season. They're competent. I think they're pretty average right now. They're still missing, like, a couple special players to take them over the top. But my biggest problem was you can't come out with that comment demanding respect after losing at home to a team playing with 10 men for, you know, two-thirds of the match. You dominated the match. You only had three shots on goal. You can't come out demanding respect after that type of match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, especially when Atlanta United lost my third favorite player from them, who I will get into my movie idea for him a little later in Gonzalez Perez. I kind of agree. The first yellow card is what it is. He's known to kind of play a little physical at times. That's fine. I like the way he plays. But he was kind of dancing around getting the whole red card the entire time. So even if that one wasn't as egregious as it should have been, the send-off was kind of going to happen.
Yeah, there's no way he was going to finish that match. It just wasn't going to happen. I was just about to say to Mike that I think Tata Martino should consider subbing him at half because I don't see him finishing the match out. He'd had a couple of fouls before the second yellow card that could have been yellows. And just when you start accumulating fouls, you know, referees start to take notice of you, and a play like that off the ball, out of bounds, you're generally going to get that yellow card. And no problem with the first one. He was beaten, had to foul the guy, had to bring him down to prevent a goal-scoring opportunity. You take the yellow there. The problem that Leandro has to improve upon is when he gets that early yellow, he has to change the way he plays. And he has to play safer, and he has to, you know, stay out of tackles and stay out of situations where he can pick up a second yellow, because it hurt the team last week. They overcame it. But it's going to hurt the team in a big way this week against one of the best attacks in the league.
Sure. And before we get back into soccer talk, I'm going to pitch my movie idea to you. At this point, I think you take Gonzalez Perez, you pair him up as an action star, part of a duo with Conor McGregor. We get Guy Ritchie to direct it, and it doesn't matter at that point.
That could work. See, I was thinking you could take the Parkhurst LGP combination and do a good cop, bad cop type of movie,
you know,
almost like a Lethal Weapon type of deal.
That's true, because Parkhurst could definitely keep saying, I'm getting too old for this.
He absolutely could play that one.
That was, see, we're workshopping this idea. We are going into Rich Eisen territory with this show at this point, where we workshop movie ideas. But for all the Atlanta fans, it will start blowing up the text feed or anything at this point. We will get back to Atlanta United now. But to be playing down, what it was, the 25th minute or so when he was sent off, to play a man down, at least they already had the goal at that point, but to play a man down against a Minnesota team that, as you said, did get better as it went on, even though I knew the result because I unfortunately couldn't watch it live. I was actually in church Saturday night because of the whole Easter weekend. So I had a good reason to miss this time. But even as I was watching, knowing what the score was, I still kept thinking Minnesota's about to score, even though I'm watching a pre-tape.
Yeah, it kind of felt that way. I mean, especially like towards the end when – you know, you started to see more chances. Sam Nicholson was finding room, cutting off of the left wing. It to me, when 7 minutes of stoppage time was flashed up there, I started having bad flashbacks to last year where Minnesota United had 7 minutes of stoppage time at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and scored twice to come back from 2-1 down to win 3-2. I was getting a little bit worried about that. Atlanta was really hanging on. I mean, the biggest thing that we learned on Saturday, we've never seen Atlanta United be able to win a match in that way, by parking the bus, playing incredibly defensive. It's not their normal style. It's not what they want to do, but that game called for it. You know, the conditions, 10 men, the injuries you had to just shut up shop and get out of there with what you had, and they found a way to do it. That's an impressive – it's an impressive sign for a team that, you know, has MLS Cup as their goal this year, because you're going to have matches like that where things go against you. You just don't have more goals in you, and you have to find a way to close out a result. Atlanta United knows they can do it now.
Yep, absolutely. And it still pains me. I know that Guzan is supposed to be the better goalie and everything, but Alec Kahn was one of my favorite players on the team. I don't know if it shows how much I'm just getting into this sport, really. I've watched for years. Truth be told, the reason I got into soccer years ago was I was watching the World Cup where Italy won, decided to start cashing out my poker account on the, at that time, legal account I had online. And I took $5 and basically made a couple credit card payments by the end of the World Cup by just pretty much riding out Italy. But now that we have
that's
a team,
awesome.
It's a lot easier to get into. Yeah, and ever since, I haven't laid another bet down, as far as Uncle Sam knows, and that's as much as he needs to know. But at the same time, as I'm getting into this sport, I don't know what it is about Kahn, and I know he's still on the team, correct?
Yes.
Okay, like I said, I know Guzan is the better goalie, and he comes in with a bigger pedigree and stuff, but there's just something about knowing that your goalkeeper for your soccer club, football club rather, is he looks like, that Alec Kahn looks like Teen Wolf Colin Farrell.
He kind of does. Alec Kahn, you know, a local guy, Decatur, so, you know, that factors into it too. He really had limited experience as a starter coming into last season, and really he wasn't brought here to be the starter. You know, things just worked out to where Brad Kazan couldn't get out of his contract in England before the summer transfer window. So Alec gets the opportunity, and he ran with it. You know, it was just a great performance from him, very steady in the first half of the year. He played 90 minutes for Atlanta United 2 in their first match, 1-3-1. So he's fully back from an injury that took him out for the second half of last year. I think you'll see him probably bounce back and forth between the first team and the second team to stay fresh and get some matches under his belt. But right now he's the clear number two behind Brad Kazan, with Mitch Hildebrandt injured. So if anything happens to Brad, if he gets called away for national team duty, which could happen in late May, early June, Alec Kahn will be the guy.
Hey, there you go. I don't want anything to happen to Guzan or anything like that, but if Kahn started, it definitely would not hurt my feelings, and that's once again nothing personal to him. But, no, this team is just – I mean, it built off of last year. It's something that I've been surprised I could describe it to people. But when people say – well, how come, you know, last year if we had such a good team, how come like a third of them aren't on the team anymore? And I said, well, that's kind of how soccer works. We kind of built a team somewhat based on a lot of one-year rentals and transfers is kind of the way I put it to a lot of them. And I said, some of those we were able to keep, some of those we had to trade away, and some of them we had to just let walk out the door. Is that kind of a good assessment to what happened?
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. I mean, you look at the starting lineup from last year to this year, and it is pretty similar. You know, your back line is back with one exception. Anton Walkes was here on a loan from Tottenham Hotspur, and they decided not to, you know, pursue a purchase on him. So they brought in Franco Escobar right back from Newell's Old Boys in Argentina, and I think in the long run, Escobar is an upgrade at right back. He's been out with a concussion. He's going to be out this Saturday as well. So it'll take him a little more time to get settled. But I think Escobar long-term is an upgrade over Walkes at right back. Then you get Darlington Nagbe, one of the best possession players in MLS. And he's a perfect fit for this team. And I think they're only starting to really get comfortable with him in the mix. He's a very different type of central midfielder than Carlos Carmona. Carmona was defense first. Nagbe is, I don't want to say attack first, he's more possession first. He's that link between the back line and the front five. So Nagbe, you know, really fills a critical role here that is different than what they could do with Carmona. And then Ezequiel Barco, who we haven't seen yet in regular season play, one of the best teenagers in the world. I mean, just flat out, that is what South American press has. That's what a lot of the European press has. Major clubs have chased him. They bring him here for reportedly $15 million. And as good as Yamil Assad was last year for this team, Ezequiel Barco is an upgrade long term. So, you know, your three changes in the starting lineup, they're all upgrades in different ways. And when this team gets everybody healthy, I think they're a better team than they were last year. Even as good as the first year was in 2017, I think this team, when they get clicking on all cylinders, they will be a better team.
And as we are talking with Jason Longshore of 92.9 The Game, Atlanta United, Atlanta United 2. He is play-by-play, the radio voice of both of those and part of the soccer down here at Trio. They got the game obviously coming up this weekend, which is the big marquee game. At no point during the preseason did anybody think that not only would Atlanta be back to another hot start, but that kind of this year's Atlanta United is LAFC, who is, it's not even arguable. They're better than the LA Galaxy, which are kind of known as the more recognizable team in the league just because they had the bigger stars, I think. I tell everybody they're kind of like the Yankees because – if you don't know baseball, you typically can name a New York Yankee. If you don't know MLS, you could typically name, you know, you could say, oh, Beckham played for them. Or you could say Donovan played for them. But yeah, the bigger stars did play there first. Now they're playing more across the league. But, I mean, what is it about this LAFC team that they have just come out of the gate, you know, guns blazing?
It's been kind of crazy to see because you look at the way they play and they don't have a whole lot of balance. You know, they're still figuring things out. They didn't have as much success building the roster, really more of a complete roster like Atlanta did early on last year. So they're really, you know, kind of piecing it together in the central midfield. And it's worked thus far until the last 30 minutes against the Galaxy last weekend, where Zlatan Ibrahimovic comes on to make his debut for the Galaxy and just shakes everything up. LAFC, everything started to fall apart. It was the first time they'd been tested, and young teams, new teams that don't have that collective experience, when you start to get put under adversity, you find things out really quick. And LAFC found out that they don't have enough steel in the middle of the field, and if they keep going with the lineup they have, they're going to have to win games 4-3, 5-4, because they're not going to be able to defend leads. And that's really the question for me going forward with LAFC. I think what they did do that was really impressive was they put together a front four that is as good as any in the league. You know, Carlos Vela from the Mexican national team is just on fire right now. Diego Rossi, the young Uruguayan, has shown that he was absolutely worth being a designated player. And then Latif Blessing and even more importantly to me, Marco Arana, are kind of the unsung heroes in the group. Urania is a forward who is very unselfish. He's going to work hard off the ball and make runs to pull defenders with him and create space for Vela and Rossi to have better looks on goal. So they've really built a nice attacking four. Their back line will be good when everyone's healthy, but the midfield is the question for LAFC, and I think Bob Bradley's still trying to figure it out.
Hey, but that's not a bad problem to have. As important as the midfield is, you have a good attack up front. You got pretty solid back line. It's sometimes in the middle there that can you can kind of overshadow problems in the midfield with either one of those other two.
Yeah, it's funny how the game has evolved, because it used to be, you know, not even that long ago, that you would start with building your midfield and you'd want your strength to be in the midfield or your strength to be up the spine. And now with transition play being really the buzzword, you can skip midfield pretty easily. If your midfield can just do some simple things and pull turnovers, interceptions, which is something LAFC is very good at, jump in passing lanes, and then just go, where you're not trying to possess the ball in midfield, you can get away with having a weaker midfield. That really wasn't the case even 10 years ago when you think of Barcelona's rise and the tiki-taka style where it'd be, you know, 10, 12, 15 passes through your midfield. LAFC doesn't do that. They just skip the midfield altogether, get it to the front four. You're looking one pass, two pass, maybe a combination, and it's a goal.
Wow, I haven't got a chance to see them this year, but to describe them like that, that reminds me of some of those national teams I've seen play and some of those EPL and other European leagues where you're just like, how was that? Two passes from the goalie and they're in. That's incredible. But what is it? What do you call a game start in soccer? I try to get some of the lingo down. Is it just a kick or a kickoff, or what do you call it?
Kickoff. Yeah, kickoff or the kick. Yeah, either one's fun.
Okay. I like the kick. So this Saturday, obviously, April 7th, at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it is built for soccer, maybe because that's the only event that I've seen there, but it's built for soccer. It's a great venue for that. The kick will be at 5 p.m. You guys will have the call on 92.9, I would imagine.
Yes, we're on 92.9. Pre-match coverage for us starts at 4:30. And if you're going to the match and you're heading home afterwards and you want some soccer talk, we're on the air for an hour after the final whistle with post-match coverage. At home, we generally get a player on with us. It's been really well received this year with having some post-match discussion, just like all the other teams have in town, you know, where you're driving home, you get to listen to more about the match, things you might have missed, hear from a player. We're doing that as well with Atlanta United this year. So it's been great working with Mike Conti and working with 92.9. And, you know, I'm excited to see it continue to grow.
And obviously, as we finish up with Jason Longshore of 92.9 The Game, Soccer Down Here podcast, ATL United 2 play-by-play, as well as with Mike Conti, the top squad as well. I got to talk about, since you call United 2, I was going to bring it up anyway, but that Kunga goal, I didn't even think he had an angle whatsoever. It's actually playing on the screen in front of me. I still don't know how he got that kick in.
He had no angle. That's just a Lagos special. I mean, this kid, I've seen him play since he was very young in Clarkston, Georgia. He played for the Decatur YMCA. His coach, Jeff Newberry, stayed with him for a number of years and really did a lot for him. Lagos is a special story. You know, he came over as a refugee from Angola, spent time in multiple refugee camps before coming to the United States. And what's always impressed me about him is he's always been incredibly gifted as a soccer player, but he was always very selfless when it came to it as well. When we would do pickup matches or special events in Clarkston and Lagos was obviously the best player on the field, he wouldn't have a problem playing with lesser players and trying to make them better. And that really said a lot to me about his character and why he's having the success he is, you know, as a homegrown signing for Atlanta United. And now he gets his opportunity with the second team. And after a so-so first match, and I think he would agree, he'd say the same thing, he went to Charlotte on this first road trip and scored a great goal to put them in the lead. That was just sheer instinct.
Yeah, it's just I think I've already put that up once, the goal, but I am gonna I'm going to put that up again, that people have just got to go see this. This is some kind of like David Blaine type weird magic that all of a sudden he takes off down the goal line basically. And I honestly thought it went through the net at one point until I saw the replay again. That it's just incredible just on any level what these guys are doing.
That's the second team, and the second team is at home on Sunday at Colray Field against Penn FC from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's a 4 o'clock kick for that one. If you can make it out to Colray, I highly recommend it because you're going to get to see a lot of the next generation of Atlanta United. If you can't make it, the match will be on YouTube, and it'll be on atlutd.com/2. I mean, Atlanta United could have an average age of their starting lineup in that match, maybe 20, 21. I mean, it's that young. You're going to see a lot of academy guys, a lot of homegrown players, and then some young players who are signed directly to Atlanta United, too. It's a really fun team to watch.
Wow. That is incredible. And, well, you gave all the information on where to watch that, so that took my next question, but... Jason, it has been an absolute blast having you on. It's good to finally talk to you. I know we'll be crossing paths here soon, hopefully. Some things in the work
Definitely.
That we're trying to get going. And you're welcome back at any time. And I actually thought of an extra thing that you do. I don't know that you'd necessarily give yourself credit for this, but I'm going to do it. So besides being from 92.9 The Game, besides being one-third of the Soccer Down Here podcast, that's at Soccer Down Here with John Nelson and Jarrett Smith, besides you and Mike Conti doing the Atlanta United 92.9 play-by-play, besides you and John Nelson, I believe, doing the ATL 2 play-by-play, you are the unofficial co-host of the Southern Fried Soccer with Doug Robertson.
Yeah, at least the post-match coverage. That's a regular thing now. And now that we're traveling for our away games, too, it's easy for Doug and I to carve out 10, 15 minutes after the match and talk it up. And it's fun because Doug and I have a different way of looking at the game sometimes. Just ask him about Michael Bradley and see what he has to say. And you'll see the major difference between the way we look at it.
Oh, yeah. I've known Doug for a good handful of years, and when he started to get the soccer beat, I was like, you guys don't realize this is his wheelhouse. This is going to be so much fun what he comes up with.
Yeah, Doug does great work, and full credit to the AJC for investing in it, too. I mean, Doug goes out to training multiple times a week. He's out on the road with the team every road match. I mean, Doug works hard, so definitely, if you're not a subscriber, go do it, at least the digital side, so you get all of his great coverage.
Absolutely. And like I said, you are welcome back anytime, Jason, and keep up the good work, and we will see you later on down the road.
Talk to you soon.
And that was Jason Longshore. I'm going to try to remember all these real quick. He is Jason Longshore of 92.9 The Game. He does play-by-play with Mike Conti for the Atlanta United. He does Atlanta United 2 coverage with his co-host from Soccer Down Here, John Nelson. Him, John Nelson, and Jarrett Smith do the At Soccer Down Here podcast. That is 2 hours each and every day right here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can follow them at Soccer Down Here. And he's the unofficial co-host of Southern Fried Soccer with Doug Robertson. How about you guys? That was incredibly fun. And I know we had a good time talking to Atlanta United. Did tell you about the game coming up this Saturday where they play LAFC, 5 p.m. kick. That's right here at home, so make sure to check that out. But we're going to go to a commercial real quick, and when we come back, I'm going to get into I'll probably have our next guest. But we'll be right back after these messages.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Sports Club. Just finished up talking to you, Jason Longshore, 92.9 The Game, and calls both the Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2. Just an incredible guy. Glad to finally have him on. Got some other stuff coming up here soon. Our guest should be joining us here in the next few minutes. But in the time between that, I want to talk a little bit of some of the craziness that has went on in the NFL. And there's been a lot of craziness. Let's talk about John Gruden doing a little bit of house cleaning out in Oakland. People say that he is just hiring his the players that he's just bringing in the players he really likes, the Gruden grinders, and yeah, he's doing that for a little bit. But if you look at it, Gruden is the ringleader, and that means he's the lion tamer. So nobody is going to have a bigger personality than the lion tamer and the ringleader. So he lets go of Michael Crabtree. We know Michael Crabtree's got a big personality. He just recently let go of Marquette King. Marquette King's talented, but he also averages, 4 or 5 15-yard penalties a year because of his shenanigans. And they are shenanigans. I like that he has a big personality and everything, but he's not the mascot. He's the punter. Nobody should be getting that many personal fouls and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he got rid of Marquette King. Oh, he got rid of a Pro Bowler. So, he's a punter. Now, the punters don't matter. Punters do matter. They matter a lot. Marquette King's one of the top ones in the league. But if you're John Gruden, you're coming into a brand new he's coming into a brand new team. He wants to make sure that he's the one in charge. Figuring out some other stuff, sorry. But he's coming into a brand new thing. He's the one who needs to be in charge of this. We know more than likely Mark Davis has given him the free rein. We're going to go from there, you know. We're going to see how this all maps itself out. And we're going to see if we can get our guests on shortly here.
Hello.
Is this Mark?
Yep.
Cool. This is Jeremy from Sports Club, and we want to welcome you onto the show. Of course, this is Mark Zeno from Atlanta Sports X and the Hazard Ground podcast, as well as Swarm Play-by-Play, correct?
That is correct.
Not only is it great to finally get you on, because we've been doing a lot of Swarm stuff this year, and they've been having an incredible year. But how did you get into doing some play-by-play for the Swarm?
Well, it's a funny story, just because it was a matter of kind of being in the right place at the right time. I mean, there's not exactly a large across population here in the South, especially in Atlanta, and because I had went to school in Baltimore and grew up in Long Island, New York. I had a very strong lacrosse background, and they kind of sought me out when they needed the Swarm had moved from Minnesota down to Georgia, and they had needed somebody with a strong lacrosse background, and I was one of the only people in the media down here who had one, so it kind of just was a perfect fit.
Oh, that's similar to we had on Mark Owens just a couple of weeks ago, who is the in-game host down there, and he had a similar story, just happened to be in the right place, and they're like, hey, you could do this.
No, yeah, everything in this business is timing sometimes.
Yep, absolutely. You are preaching to the choir there. But, let's touch on the Swarm for a minute there. They had the great run last year that kind of picked up. I guess it kind of picked up late. They're a pretty solid, consistent team anyway, but they end up winning the championship. I keep having to remind people that Atlanta does have a world championship recently, and it was last year with them. But, you know, this team seems to – they really seem to be gelling here in the last few weeks. What do you see?
Well, they are getting hot at the right time. Look, they were pretty inconsistent in the beginning of the year, and I don't know if that was a matter of kind of just resting on their laurels from last year, thinking they were going to be as good as they were, or they just weren't playing that well. It's probably a combination of both, but, you know, they're starting to pick it up. They've gotten some key players back. Jordan Hall returned to the lineup. Chad Tutton returned to the lineup. So Joel White returned to the lineup, and these are guys that were key parts of the championship team last year. So, you know, when those guys came back, it really kind of re-energized the entire team. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, they've been playing much better lacrosse. They've been scoring a lot more. And that's really been a big part of what the difference was between last year and this year early on, is they couldn't find the back of the net. And they've been able to do that now with some regularity. And, you know, the Eastern Division and the NLL is extremely tight. I mean, every single team is within a half game or another. So it's wide open. And they got a critical matchup coming up on Sunday at home against Toronto.
Yeah, that's going to be an incredibly big game, not just because it's friends and family night or anything like that, but last I heard, unless somebody's played in between there, I believe the Swarm are, it's like a four-way tie for first, or like you said, they're all within a half game of each other, which is just incredible. You see that in almost no other sport.
No, they're all 7-7 with the exception of the last place team, Rochester 6-7, so it's just crazy to see that's how the standings have played out this year. I've never seen anything like it. You know, it's really hard when these teams play each other so often for everybody to beat each other back and forth. You know, you don't really see that. So it's a crazy final finish the last couple of weeks of the regular season.
Absolutely. And we're talking with Mark Zanow from Atlanta Sports X and the Hazard Ground podcast, as well as the Swarm play-by-play, as we were talking about. For people, I've been trying my best, but I'm a big hockey nut anyway, so the same effort that I put forth to getting people to Gladiator games, I have been trying this year to get people to Swarm games because I didn't know much about them, kind of crossed paths with them in doing some stuff with the Gladiators, and they said, we'll just come out to a game. I came out to a game, and I got hooked. So I've been trying to, like, sales pitch everybody else to show up. What is it about the game that you would tell other people that you just have to come see?
Well, you know, the thing they say about indoor lacrosse is, you know, your ticket buys you the whole seat, but you only need the edge of it because that's where you're going to be pretty much for the whole game. I mean, you know, it's just there's a lot of scoring. There's a lot of action. You know, the passing is great, and everybody gets involved. And, you know, you just see a lot of teamwork. But the pace is fantastic, and they play music while the game is going on. And, you know, goals go off. Everybody gets excited. I mean, it's a great atmosphere. It's affordable for families. It's great for kids. And, you know, it's a kind of family environment that you want to take your kids to for a game. And, you know, the team wins. That's the other part that's fun.
Oh, yeah. It's always good when they win. It's a lot easier to sell people on coming to games from an Atlanta team that wins consistently.
No, absolutely. But, I mean, listen, when a team is good, it's so much easier to get fan support. And the Swarm have done that in a really short time here in Atlanta.
Yeah, that they definitely have. I wanted to hit a little bit on your military time because the Hazard Ground podcast, I was able to check out a couple episodes. I had no idea that you did this because I actually met you a handful of years back before a Falcons game years ago when you did a pregame with Harper LaBelle and Jamal Anderson, but years ago. I actually had no idea of your prior military experience, nor that you were doing this podcast. This podcast is just incredible. Basically, for anybody who hasn't heard it, give everybody like a basic synopsis of what Hazard Ground is all about.
Well, the Hazard Ground is a podcast that helps to tell the stories of combat and survival of all of America's heroes and veterans and current service members. So, you know, if you know the story of American Sniper and Lone Survivor, those were books that were made to major motion pictures, and the Hazard Ground hopes to tell all the stories that weren't made into movies, you know, just all the stories of America's heroes and all the great things that they've done. And, you know, to get those stories out there, I think is a huge benefit. Everybody everybody in the military has a story to tell. Everyone who's been deployed in combat has a story to tell. And so I just want to make sure we can get as many of those stories out there as possible.
I think that's a fantastic thing you're doing. It speaks volume of how great a human you are. And, I meant to say it earlier, but thank you for your service. You did quite a few tours yourself, right?
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Say again?
I said you did quite a few tours yourself, right?
Yeah, I've done two tours to Iraq. I've been in the Army all in total, coming up on 19 years this May. So it's been a long run for me.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. Of course, this week you had on Trey Grissom from he also went to – he was part of Navy football back when they beat – Notre Dame just a couple years ago. It wasn't that long ago, but he's one of the more, I won't say accomplished. It's one of the more, a lot of people have at least heard his name from all the great Marine work he's done. But if people haven't heard this week, definitely go check it out. Trey had a great story to tell.
No, he did. And not only did Navy beat Notre Dame, but they beat them at Notre Dame. And that was
right
in and of itself, you know, a minor miracle when it comes to military academy football. You don't see that often. So it was a great run for Navy. And as an Army guy, I'm thankful we beat them in the Army-Navy game the last 2 years, because Navy had a little bit of a streak for about 12 years in a row. But it's been great for the service academies, and, you know, they're playing good football, and that's always exciting.
Yeah, that's always the hard thing is when any of the branches play each other in any kind of competition. I get stuck in the middle because I got friends and family in practically every branch going back in all different directions. So most of the time I'm just like, you guys just be safe, and whoever wins, good for you guys. But, you know, since I have you on, then I'll say that on the next one, let's hope Army beats Navy, and let's hope that my father-in-law didn't hear me say that.
There you go. That's all we want. It's the one college football game a year I actually get genuinely excited for. I mean, I love college football as a sport, and Saturdays are a lot of fun, but I don't really have a rooting interest. But every weekend, every year in the beginning of December, that first weekend of December, I have a rooting interest in a college football game, so I get very passionate about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's one of the few that I try not to miss every year, no matter what, no matter if I'm covering something else or not. I'm always like, can we get that game on right there? Most of the time I've been able to do it, or at least see the DVR later. But as we finish up, because I know you have limited time today, and I appreciate your time already today, we'll finish up with Mark Zanow. You can follow him at Mark Zanow on Instagram. He is from Atlanta Sports X, or that's the Fan 2, correct?
Yes, Atlanta Sports X. It used to be the Fan 2, but it's on Twitter, Atlanta Sports X. Just a altogether one word. New station out there. Just trying to do something a little bit different than other sports stations are doing. And, you know, we also have an app that's free. Download the app. You can get it on iTunes or, Android, whatever it is. It's a free app. Listen to the station anywhere you go, anytime you want. Any past shows, past guests and interviews and things of that nature, it's all in the app, so you can get it there.
Yep, it's a fantastic app. As soon as I saw the rebranding, because I know a handful of your coworkers from various other things I do, that's a really cool app, and I like the lineup you guys have over there. You guys have some really cool characters, and you've always done a good job with the A to Z stuff, and like I said, now that the Hazard Ground stuff, of course, on Twitter, at Hazard Ground, or anywhere you can find the podcast, you can definitely listen to that. But Mark, like I said, I know you were on limited time tonight, as we are as well. So hopefully we can do this again in the future, and it's been fantastic having you on tonight.
Absolutely, Jeremy. Appreciate the time. Let me know when you want to do it again.
Definitely so. You have a great one. We'll see you on later down the road.
Same to you, Jeremy. Thanks.
And that was Mark Zanow from Atlanta Sports X and the Hazard Ground podcast. He is doing some very cool, important stuff that I'm glad we got a few minutes from him. And that guy's just great. If you ever get to meet Mark, he is a fantastic guy. Does some great stuff for the Swarm play-by-play. Just a good human. Jason Longshore, he's a good human. That's what I try to do. You guys know this if you've been here since the beginning. If you're kind of new to this, everybody that we have a part of Impact Media, whether you're a guest, whether it's just somebody we're meeting, or somebody who is actually here on the show, we're people who don't just make impressions. We try to find people that make an impact, people that make the show better, that get things out to you guys. And like I said, there's no greater human than Mark Zanow for all the things he's done. So definitely appreciate that, and appreciate his time tonight. And we'll definitely have both those guys on in the near future. But as we finish up here on Sports Club, let's talk a little more NFL, can't we? RG3 signed with the Baltimore Ravens. He signed like on a Wednesday, and then immediately this morning, how come Colin Kaepernick didn't get signed? Well, it's one of those, the other shoe has to drop. Like, A has to happen before we get to B, before we get to C. Part of what's going to help Colin is RG3 signing. Another thing is if Johnny Manziel gets the job, there's a chance that could happen. And you could say, well, we're running out of space here and there. It's 90-man roster time. It's time to fill up the roster with camp arms and everything else. So at least for in camp, you have a chance to make the team. You may be signed as the 90th guy. Doesn't mean you're the first one out. So good for Baltimore. I think the Joe Flacco project is nearing its last run. And I think John Harbaugh has decided the best way to do that is to bring in other people that maybe we can do something with, or at least bridge gap into the next guy. So Harbaugh knows his neck is going to be on the line pretty soon if they don't do something. So the Joe Flacco experiment, I think, will officially be over pretty soon. Also, the Patriots traded Brandon Cooks to the L.A. Rams. That pretty much shoots the idea in the foot of Odell Beckham Jr. going to the Rams, which is fine. He wouldn't have mixed there. Him and Sue would have got into it, and it would have not went well. But the Patriots basically are going to get the number 23 pick, I believe, in this year's draft. That gives the Patriots the two number ones, two number twos, and a three in this year's draft. A lot of people think, oh, they're going to pick up some good people. It seems to me they're going to jump up and get somebody. Are they going to get one of these top quarterbacks? Maybe. Although I don't know who their trade partner would be. I think we're going to see on draft night as things progress and see who drops to who. But, you know, a lot of people think, well, the Pats are trading these guys and they're trading that guy and the left tackle's gone and the right tackle's gone. And Patriots, guys, it's a system. The only person, and I'm not that sure on that, I'm about 80% sure, Brady is the only safe guy in this system. Gronk could be out the door at this point. I doubt it, because I think Edelman and Gronk will be the people that they really get into. That's who Brady's really going to want to throw to, but it's not to say that they won't be moved around as well. I do hear Johnny Manziel is going to make his debut this Saturday. He's going to play two quarters in the Spring League game to make his debut again. He's going to play a little bit in this one. He's going to play a little bit in the next game. And then if he's not on a roster then, I believe he'll sign on to play in Canada. Either way, you know, he had comments on the Dan Patrick Show the other day. And it was taken out of context. Basically, during one answer, you know, Dan asked him if he could give him a mulligan on his first year, would he take it? And he said the mulligan would be right after he got drafted. And they kind of took out of context when he said the Browns made the mistake of not doing the homework on him to realize that he didn't show up every day to look at film. He didn't study the playbook a lot. People took it as, he was big-dogging him or something. It's like, no. Because if you listen to the rest of his answers, he said the main reason he would want a mulligan was because he realized what actual NFL players and veterans do to stay in the league and how they progress is doing those things. He didn't know how to be a pro. All he knew how to do was play quarterback and make a few plays. So now he knows what he's doing, we think. And like I said, they need this. They need him in the league. They absolutely need him in the league. Let's see. We'll talk a little bit of Masters. You know, everybody pretty much teed off today. The fact that Sergio made a 13 on the 15th hole, you know, those kinds of things happen. Trying to find a leaderboard. Is that going to be one? Yeah. Here we go. Everybody has officially played their entire rounds. And the leader so far is Jordan Spieth at -6. You got Tony Finau and Matt Kuchar at -4. You know, Tony Finau is the one that got a hole-in-one during the par 3 contest. And jumped up and celebrated and pretty much rolled his ankle. Didn't know if he was going to play, ended up playing. He's now tied for second. A good many people are tied for fourth at -3. You got Hendrick Stenson, Adam Hadwin. He might be the out of nowhere guy. There's always one. Patrick Reed, Charlie Hoffman, Hao Tong Lee, Rory's in this mix, and Rafael Cabrera Fellow. Other notables, Phil Mickelson tied for 11th at minus 2. Vijay Singh at minus 1. I'm getting to the guy that you guys all want to know. Tied for 29th is Tiger Woods at plus 1. He would tee off at 127 tomorrow. Hey, after tomorrow, we will know how this is going to play out. Right now, everybody is everywhere. I said earlier that if Tiger could be minus 2 or minus 3, he would be in the hunt. I was right on the number, wrong on the way he would finish. Those kinds of things happen. That's quite all right. If Tiger does it, great. If he's not able to do it, then that's unfortunate. But, you know, what's great for golf is that he's back, and Rory's playing well, Phil's playing well. All these other people are playing very well. It's a great time to be out in Augusta. I'm going to tell the Braves story, and then I'll talk a little about the Braves' early start. So yesterday, I was going to meet up with a friend of mine who works down near the stadium. A lot of you may know who he is, but I was going to meet him for lunch or something like that. A little before I was going to head that way, found out that he was actually working part of the production for the pregame and some other things. So, you know, pretty much agreed that, hey, you know what, we'll meet at the game. So I go on a secondary market site. I'm not going to say the one because they've been good to me so far in the times I've used them. Go on the secondary site. It was getting the ticket from a third-party site. They were getting it from one of the major retailers. And in the email confirmation email, I was not allowed to click on it. Like, huh, okay. Well, okay. So I keep going up there. I'm trying to find a parking lot because at the time they did not have any pre-sale things open, and everything is pass-oriented, something I have learned, that if you don't get a pass early, then good luck trying to find parking down there. There's plenty of parking. In fact, there were some lots that if you had a permit, you would have been the only car in the lot, but they wouldn't let you in. Something you guys got to fix, in my opinion, Braves. However, so I finally get in, over to the box office. And trying to explain to the guy working there who did his best. And he goes and gets a ticket rep. I believe Riley was his name. Shout out to Riley, who was able to fix my problem, get my ticket in all the rigmarole and everything going on. Didn't get in the game till about the bottom of the fourth. That's all right, you know. But did get to see the back half of the game, and I came home, and for some reason, I had DVR'd the game, so I watched the front part so that I could talk a little more about it. I do have to say, this Braves team is definitely better than last year. They're going to surprise a lot of people. They're a very scrappy team. If you guys haven't seen how scrappy they could be, then you definitely aren't watching. I mean, they took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. And in the loss, they still scored 4 runs. That made them 2-1. They took 2 out of 3 from the Nationals, who are nothing personal, but on paper a way better team than they are. The one loss they had, they got beat 8-1, but 13-6 and 7-1 yesterday. This Braves team is definitely a lot better than people think. So. Got the, I believe they're on the road for the next 2 weeks. Got the Rockies this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They go up to Washington to see the Nationals, and then they'll be in Chicago next weekend. Play the Cubs before on the 16th. They'll be back here for the Phillies and the Mets, which will take them through the entire weekend. This will be a lot of fun, but no, I definitely like this team. This team is. I still don't know who half of them are. I'm trying to learn them. But
Preston Tucker, that guy can play. I actually like Culberson. Nothing personal to Dansby Swanson. I know a lot of people like him, and he's a good player, but I like Culberson better. I actually think he can. I actually think he plays a little better right now. He's hitting a little better. Nick Markakis continues to be just a rifle in the field and a fantastic rock of a hitter. And Borjos played yesterday. He played some outfield. That dude's really good. You know, they had Perez, the catcher, who came in and played a little bit. Peter Moreland was in the pitch. We got to see Rodas. Rodas Vizcaino, that's it. Yeah, got to see him pitch. I mean, overall, for everybody who was at that game, including the Atlanta Gladiators players that able to go hang out with, people were able to see out there, they had a good time. It's a good time to be a Braves fan for once. You know, I knock them a lot, but I like this team. And you guys should like them too. But, you know, just want to talk a little bit about the Braves start. They're 4-2. They beat the Nationals. 2 out of 3, the Nationals were undefeated all the way up until that second game they played them. I know it's still early, but we all know the Nationals should be a better team. They're just not. They're not right now. Bryce Harper's still doing some okay things. Some of the other guys are still doing some okay things. But overall, it just is what it is. This Braves team is fun. They're absolutely fun. You know, we'll get into some of these other news and notes and discussions once we have the guys on in the next couple weeks. But overall, just want to give a shout out to Jason Longshore from 92.9 The Game. He also does the Soccer Down Here podcast. He also does play-by-play for Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2, and he unofficially co-hosts with Doug Robertson the Southern Fried Soccer podcast. Check those out as well. Another podcast you should check out is Hazard Ground, where Mark Zeno interviews a lot of military people and ex-military people so that they can tell their stories. He's also from Atlanta Sports X, where he does the A to Z with Mark Zeno every afternoon. Just overall super guy. So there's 3 podcasts you should check out besides this one. And while you're checking out the Soccer Down Here podcast, while you're checking out the Hazard Ground podcast, and while you're checking out the Southern Fried Soccer podcast, make sure to give us a rating, review, and drop us a comment. We appreciate each and every one of them as much as we appreciate each and every one of you. Once again, shout out to Jason Longshore and Mark Zeno. They were fantastic, and we look forward to having them on very, very soon again. For everybody here at Impact Media, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys later on down the road. Go Falcons. Go Hawks. Go Braves. Go United. Go Gladiators.
Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolator.
Missed it by that much.